Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Greetings. Welcome to the ID the Future podcast. I'm Casey Luskin, and today we have on our show once again Rodney LeVake, the teacher from Minnesota who was transferred away from teaching biology because he had doubts about Darwinism inside of his head. Mr. LeVake, we're going to continue with your interview now.
So you were not even trying to give alternatives to evolution, much less critique evolution. What it really comes down to it, the facts were that you just committed a thought crime. This is very disconcerting. So what happened then? They transfer you. They told you you couldn't teach biology anymore. So then you filed a lawsuit. And what did the court decide? What did you argue and what did the court decide?
Well, let me just back up a little bit here, Casey.
Okay.
What happened at the end of the year is that, I didn't know, really, I'm not an expert in law or what you can do. And so suing the district was the least thing for my mind. What I did, though, was I composed a letter, and I wrote, I guess you could characterize it as a help letter, and I wrote it to several organizations, in the United States that I thought would be sympathetic to what had happened to me. And I got a reply from the American Center for Law and Justice who were interested in the case. And I eventually met to kind of talk over the details, and they decided to kind of pick up the my case. And it started with a letter to the school district just saying, in effect, wait a minute, you can't reassign somebody just because of what they think.
This was purely a thought crime you had committed. It wasn't even that you refused to teach the curriculum. It was purely a thought crime.
Yeah, and that's why I kind of thought, this shouldn't be happening in America. A guy or a gal teaching like that should have the right to, from a scientific standpoint, to disagree with or to question something if it can be done in a valid way. I think it's perfectly okay in a science classroom.
Hmm. So ultimately, you did file a lawsuit then, is that correct?
Yes, the letter proved to be ineffective,
mm-hmm.
And eventually, over the course of the year, several hurdles have to pass. It was a real lesson for me in the legal system, anyway. Over the course of the year, finally, we ended up suing the school district for, breach of due process and freedom of speech and academic freedom issues, along with a couple other ones that we felt were also needed in the lawsuit.
Hmm.
And so that pretty much got the school's attention. And I guess from that point on, then we pursued it in the legal court.
So, and what did the court decide? What was the court's conclusion?
Well, the first stop, of course, in a legal system like this is the district court. And essentially, over time, the school district filed for a summary judgment, and the judge went along with the school district and, in a sense, dismissed the case without any type of trial by jury. And that's what I was hoping for, is that there would be some kind of recourse in the legal system where at least I could explain what had happened and what I thought the lack of freedom was in a court and before my peers, and that just never was the case. And so the thing that was really chilling about that particular opinion was a sentence that just kind of sticks into my mind that the judge used in his written explanation of granting the summary judgment for the school district. Here's what he said, quote, "Plaintiff in the instant case has no constitutional right to teach his proposed criticisms of evolutionary theory, though they may be scientifically meritorious."
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. And I thought, whoa.
So, in other words, the school district is God. They determine what will and will not be taught in the classroom as far as your school district was concerned. Is that right? basically.
Well, that certainly appears to be what the general idea was.
But of course, they have to have valid reasons if they're going to take away from you your job or change your job and so forth. Do you think that they reassigned you to teach physical science because they just don't believe that teachers should teach a curriculum that they might have some scientific doubts about, or because they didn't trust you to present evolution accurately or fairly? I mean, what were their rationalizations for what they did?
I have no idea what exactly they thought about that, but I would just guess that it's probably falls into the idea they just didn't trust me in the classroom. Why that would be the case, I don't know. I've been a loyal employee of the district for 13 or 14 years, and since been the same loyal employee for 13 years. I think they were concerned that I was going to change my biology classroom. Somehow I was going to change it into kind of a religious type of class that would bring in religious ideas about origins.
Is that what you wanted to do?
Well, no. I really never thought that that was the place for a biology teacher in the public school system.
Mm-hmm.
Right or wrong, I just didn't think that was the place for me, mainly because I have students in my classroom that are Christian believer kind of students, but I also have a fair share of people that are from the Muslim faith, people that are atheists, people that are from different Protestant faiths that may have a different faith about origins than me. It just didn't seem like the right place to approach that, and I don't know where they got that idea, other than trying to, put together the idea of if somebody disagrees with evolution, then it has to be from a religious standpoint. Well, of course, that would be an error in logic.
Sure, and that's a very convenient way for evolutionists to censor people like you, is to just, label these scientific criticisms of evolution. If they try to relabel them as, religion, and then they accuse you of trying to violate the First Amendment, when, of course, that was never your intent. You had no desire and no intent to violate the First Amendment. So definitely is a very unfair little game that they like to play, a game that I see all the time in my job working with teachers, unfortunately. Do you think that most students have the resources, ability, and initiative to critically analyze what they're told about evolution without having teachers presenting it the way you'd like to teach it? Are they only going to be able to think about problems with evolution if they go home and think about it, or do they get these opportunities in the classroom?
Well, again, I would be guessing about opportunities that are offered in other schools. But over the years, as I've talked to other biology teachers, I've kind of gained the perspective that in some locations, the biology teachers can openly talk about the inconsistencies of Darwinian evolution to the class, and in fact assign kind of pro and con papers to their students on this very topic. Whereas in other schools, it's kind of like either the administration or other science teachers in the department kind of have some kind of real problem with exploring different theories from using sound scientific evidence.
And this raises a very interesting point, Mr. LeVake, because I have seen Darwinists at times actually cite your case, which, by the way, was decided a number of years ago. I believe the year was 2001 that the final decision came down from the Court of Appeals of Minnesota against you. And I have seen people cite your case saying, oh, well, this case shows that it's unconstitutional to teach scientific criticisms of evolution. But that is not at all what your case says. What your case says is that basically the school district is God, and they have the right to do whatever they want. If they want to stop a teacher from teaching criticisms of evolution, unfortunately, they can do that. But if they want to permit a teacher to do that, then they can also do that. It says nothing about the constitutionality or lack thereof of critiquing neo-Darwinian evolution. And so, as you just said, there are some teachers in places where they're openly allowed to do this. And I certainly know of many across the country. There are others, unfortunately, where the school districts want to teach evolution very dogmatically, and they want to censor from students any scientific challenges to Darwinian evolution. even to the extent where they would falsely accuse teachers like you, who are teaching the curriculum properly, of, you know, of refusing to teach evolution, when really all you committed was a thought crime. You know, you didn't even get a chance to teach really about these problems of evolution that you wanted to talk about. The worst that you did, Mr. Levesque, was have the wrong thoughts inside your head. And so, you know, really this is very unfortunate, and, you know, you may not be able to say this, but I'll say this, that school districts like your, the one that you were in, would try to censor teachers and control their thoughts, and really just have quite an authoritarian approach to controlling the science classroom. And I think this highlights one of the reasons why academic freedom legislation is very important, because it protects the rights of teachers like you to teach about the scientific strengths and weaknesses of evolution without having to fear for, you know, being reassigned to teach a different class, or without having to fear getting fired or other negative repercussions to your job. So if anything, you know, your case, Levesque versus Independent School District Number 656 from the Court of Appeals of Minnesota in 2001, it really highlights the need for academic freedom legislation. So I'll get off my soapbox here, but that's my, in a nutshell, my opinion of your case.
You know, just a kind of a small correction, though, too, Casey. In 2001, it was actually reviewed by the U.S. Supreme Court, and it was they chose, of course, not to comment on.
That's
it.
Right. Yes.
So it actually went to the top court of the land.
Yes.
At that point in time.
But they denied cert. They didn't want to hear your case, unfortunately.
They didn't want to hear it. Yeah.
Well, do you feel, I mean, what are you working to change the academic freedom climate that's out there right now, and this climate where in some places teachers don't have the academic freedom to think thoughts that challenge evolution?
Well, locally, my hands are tied as far as the public school is concerned. But I've been asked to, you know, talk to and visit with groups in the city and the surrounding area about the whole thing, and that's been warmly received. I've also had the opportunity to travel to Missouri and speak before the one of the education committees of the House in defense of the academic freedom bill that's before them, at least in the education committee there. And so I guess I'm just trying to do whatever I'm given the opportunity to do. To kind of move this forward. You know, the thing is, too, even though it was kind of, I felt like I was kind of shortchanged in this whole thing, I just can't imagine, you know, it's not about me. It's about the kids.
That's right.
That are kind of losing out on the kind of the scientific evidence that actually draws into question Darwinian evolution.
Mm-hmm.
You and I know that the Darwinian evolution is not really people friendly, and I think it would be well received by the school district to offer evidence that opposes the Darwinian evolution in hopes that the kids don't feel like, you know, they're the result of some kind of random chance mutations from pond scum, if I might be that bold. Not only, you know, that part of the issue, but there is ample scientific evidence that would serve great ideas for critical thinking for kids. And I'm thinking of Michael Behe's book on the likelihood of the first living cell to arise. And I'm talking about Jonathan Wells' book, Icons of Evolution, where he methodically goes through, you know, the top 10 supposedly scientifically based supports of evolution, and just dismantles each one in turn very, very brilliantly in his book. There's also Denton's book, Evolution in Christ, or A Theory in Crisis. There is a whole host of leading scientific researchers that have written about the scientific evidence that seems to draw into question Darwinian evolution.
Or Mr. Levesque, there's also a new textbook that was co-authored by a number of Discovery Institute fellows the textbook Explore Evolution, the arguments for and against neo-Darwinism that's designed for use in public schools, to implement the very kind of approach that you were talking about, trying to teach about the scientific problems of evolution, but not even getting into, you know, some of the alternative views like intelligent design. So if people are interested in this, definitely you can contact Discovery Institute, and we'd be happy to give you information about these kinds of resources.
You know, I haven't had the opportunity to read that book yet, and I'd just love to get a hold of that.
Well, maybe we'll have to get you a copy then. I don't see any problem with that at all.
That'd be super.
But you know, we probably shouldn't say that publicly on the podcast, because we don't want you to get in any more trouble than you're already in. I say that facetiously. I really appreciate your time, Mr. Levake, being on the show with us, telling your story. I know it happened a number of years ago, but you know, definitely it's still a very relevant story to today. These academic freedom bills that were submitted this very year, many of them, I think, are trying to address cases just like your own and trying to prevent further injustices against good teachers who in your case did nothing more than commit a thought crime. And so I appreciate you standing up for truth, and we really wish you the best.
Well, thank you, Casey, and I'd really like to thank the Discovery Institute for hosting the podcast and giving me the opportunity to try to clear up my case and also to give kids a chance to really kind of chew on the scientific evidence that is really either pro or con for Darwinian evolution.
So, Mr. Levake, do you have any other final comments you'd like to share with our listeners?
I guess the only thought is that I would like to, you know, the people that happen to be listening to this interview need to really think about this whole issue themselves. And this idea of, I would have to characterize it as a stranglehold of Darwinian evolution on American science programs is really, their time, I think, is about ready to be done. And I'm hoping that people of all walks of life will support the academic freedom bills in their states as they arise, because actually the kids of our state deserve to hear the scientific evidence is both for and against Darwinian evolution in the public schools.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Rodney Levake, the famous teacher who was the plaintiff in the Levake versus Independent School District case. Thanks for being on our show. Hopefully, you, our listeners, have learned something from hearing about his story. This is Casey Luskin with the ID the Future podcast signing off. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2008. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.